and rather than asking this court to focus on the standards in Section 2253. So the IRB talks about what the U.S. Supreme Court is doing on vaccines under the Commerce Clause, which is completely unrelated to the exercise of police power that is happening here. The Iron Pig wants this court to somehow view the decision in In Re Certified Questions related to the EPGA as controlling in this case, which it most clearly is not. Mm. As Justice Markman acknowledged...
Here's the problem. He just made that comment, but what he does, what they, the state, did not do is they didn't provide any brief in support of why they believe In Re Certified Questions, the downing of the 45. They didn't argue any of that other than right now to say we disagree with it and it doesn't hold water or is not a brick in the wall in this case whatsoever.
And they also didn't mention anything about what the Supreme Court heard Friday.
Yeah, imagine that.
Weird.
In his opinion, in In Re Certified Questions, to which is, and which is inherently true,
he's a dissenting
judge. Any statute's analysis in a non-delegation doctrine concept is going to begin and almost always end with an analysis of the statute itself. Other cases are useful in giving us an analytical framework, but they don't control how a particular statute applied in that analysis is going to be analyzed or determined. The text in this particular statute has a context. It's in the public health code. The legislature, in an entirely different section of the code, 2221, emphasized that it was especially concerned about epidemics. The legislature vested the authority in Section 2253 in the hands of a director who, elsewhere in the public health code, the legislature said that director needs to be educated in public health administration, and if that director is not a doctor, there should be a chief medical executive who is a doctor.
Meanwhile, we've gone through, we're on our second director.
Yeah.
And our second CME, Chief Medical Examiner,
and,
Officer, or whatever.
You know, there was golden parachutes and other things attached to those.
Both health directors and both CMEs and all self-fucking
about it right now.
The legislature has a broader design here that is putting an important power to protect the public health against an epidemic in the hands of people who are qualified to make the determinations that need to be made in real time. So when there is no vaccine against a deadly illness.
It kills me, part of it, because they vested the power in this director who's an unelected official.
Mm-hmm.
It's an appointee. It's an
people
employee.
People didn't realize that.
Right?
And we went that on a local level.
And we talked about that with David when he was here last week on one of our other episodes. You know, the health director or the chief medical officer is an appointee.
Yeah.
Now, they should have certain qualifications to meet that. I mean, just like any other job, right?
You would think.
But again, so much power has been given, and then it is given to this further person, right? So it's just kind of down the chain. And again, unelected person with all this power.
That appropriate measures can be put into place. Mr. Delaney talked about the necessary provision in that section. When control of an epidemic is necessary to protect health, is what that statute says. That necessary standard, that necessity standard, is one that has been recognized
and
used by courts
reasonable and
in the entirety of American history to uphold statutes like this one.
Such
you cited as an example Vanderbilt.
I just want to pause there because that what pisses me off was the entire time there was a ban on indoor dining, you and I could both go to a party store, a gas station, get anything you wanted, booze, liquor. We'd go to any box store and get anything we ever wanted, except for building supplies. Evidently, the COVID survived and thrived in the building supply section.
Can't get your boat out.
Yeah, you can't boat, which, you know, thankfully my outboard identified as a kayak, so that was allowed. But, I mean, it was just absurd. And the fact that, you know, they're still going back on this shit all this time later, even though every single day it's getting tossed out left and right, but they're still clinging to the shit. Science is now proving that we're fucking wrong.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, no. But it sounds like I'm proving to be one.
According to them, Jesus, we're all baby killers.
Department's position is that the in-ray certification...
Wait a second. Yeah, let's hold on a second. I'm going to fast forward this just for a second because we...
Get to the good part?
Well, we get... Our attorney jumps off the screen real quick to grab some documents, and the judge just kind of makes sure. So we're just going to jump ahead on that because we don't need to waste time.
And...
Oh, hold on here.
Appropriate. This court, because it's simply unnecessary. This case can be decided on the statute that is in front of it, applying the standards from Blue Cross as is appropriate. The necessity standard, though, is one that has been existed in Vandercoot and goes back 200 years in American history. And
nothing changed in 200 years.
Oh, this is...
Oh, this is... Here it is.
Judge,
this is the best part. One of our best and brightest.
Pardon the language.
And I apologize. I got a little off track there in my rhythm.
Sorry, take your time.
Because you're fucking making it up, bro. You're fucking pulling it out of your ass.
He was. I mean...
So, yep. Judge, to wrap, we emphasize that it is important to focus on the statute as a whole.
Listen, in all fairness, yeah, it does happen. People do lose their train of thought. We had some discussion about this afterwards, and kind of what we concluded was anybody that has taken a debate class or has taken a speech class will tell you that you can't memorize. Some people can. You can't memorize an entire speech.
No, but you keep bullet points.
You keep bullet points, and you know the material so well that all you need to do is have a couple of bullet points. And I suggest at least anyways, I can't speak for anybody else, but I suggest that he was basically reading out a script that was either written by probably not him, but somebody else. We can speculate probably who, but this is the difference. That you'll see when arguing a case, when somebody believes in what they're arguing versus somebody that's just reading a rundown that has been provided by them that you're trying to commit to memory. And it does happen, so we don't want to beat up on Darren too much.
To be fair, though, for Christ's sake, we're doing a podcast, and you see me scribbling shit off right here on my list as we're talking.
Yeah, I'm just saying, trying to be fair, but he does stumble a little bit right here. He does lose his train of thought. We speculate why, but either way, he gets it back on track. And the other part I think that he has a problem is because he's trying to argue why the in-re certified questions don't relate to what we're doing.
And again.
And he has no argument to that. So
no.
That's where I
made
the comment.
And all he keeps doing is circling back to MCL 33.2253 in all its entirety. Which, remind you, in all its entirety, is
three
paragraphs.
One page.
Not even a page. Like, three paragraphs.
Point I had wanted to cover. The Iron Pig had spent some time, both in its brief and in its presentation this morning, talking about other applications of Section 2253, by talking about face masks and different requirements that were put on other entities, and Mr. Delaney even talked about gatherings at bus stops. Judge, none of those are at issue in front of the court today. What is at issue is
attempted to
a very limited application of this particular statute. The application by which indoor dining was prohibited during a time in November of 2020.
Hold on, let me back that up really quick. I think it kind of is telling.
Is a very limited.
Very limited. Very limited. That's what he said. Very limited.
Application of this particular statute. The application by which indoor dining was prohibited during a time in November of 2020 when the coronavirus cases were again expanding without people being able to protect themselves through vaccines. The director, in exercising that very clear authority under the statute at the time, didn't shut down restaurants. So I think it's important to observe that the director allowed restaurants to continue to operate.
Allowed. There it is. Allowed. They allowed. They're so gracious to allow us.
That was a time, Judge, when all of us, people, restaurants, businesses, were all making adjustments to how we lived lives, how we conducted business on a daily basis, in recognition that we wanted to help our fellow Michiganders get through to a time when vaccines were
available. Thank God for them.
The Iron Pig didn't do that. It ignored that.
Community peer pressure.
$5,000, and that fine should be upheld. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fowler.
Okay.
Mr. DeWayne.
So, the things to point out there are, and the judge is going to...
Oh, we still have another Iron Pig.
Oh, we do have another. Yeah, now. Here, hope that. I think the judge might say it one more, two more times here. The key thing on wrap-up of the state's arguments there is that you'll notice that they don't really talk about the law, the question at hand.
No.
And why the constitutionality of it and why we're questioning it. It's all about COVID. No, Iron Pig is bad. Iron Pig broke said law, allegedly, by staying open. We're terrible community partners because we didn't care about the health and well-being.
And I just want to point out, so you saw him pull it up. This, in its entirety, this right here is the MCL in question. Not just one screenshot of it. That's the entirety.
Yep.
The entire three paragraphs. Everything you just heard him discuss was that much.
Yep. But it's concise.
I
forget the other adjective that he used, but
necessary.
Yeah, it was a little bit obnoxious, but that's the argument. And I'm actually very appreciative, Judge Hunter, mm-hmm. how he wrapped up everything here. We'll just briefly wrap it up here.
Did you have a need or a desire for any brief rebuttal?
Very briefly, Your Honor, I want to indicate that the state seems to suggest that this particular section of the Michigan Public Health Code dating back to 1919 and then revised in 1978 was routinely used by the state of Michigan and is a statute that suddenly restaurants are now objecting to. But look at the history of the 1945 and the 1978. In October of 2020, the Michigan Supreme Court strikes down the Emergency Powers Act, the 1945.
Thank you, Carl.
But not until then, in November. So within weeks of the 1945 being struck down, the executive branch activates the 1978. So if it was a good law, why wasn't the executive branch using it in March of 2020?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Why did they wait until the 45 was struck down? Mm-hmm. Number two. Page 32 and page 33 of the NRA certified question dedicates notable time to the term necessary and states that the term necessary is insufficient. The court concludes on page 33. The necessary standard, just as in setting forth a reasonable standard, neither supplies genuine guidance as to how to exercise the authority delegated nor constrains the actions in a meaningful manner. So even with reasonable, the 1945 was struck down. Standing alone as necessary, it is insufficient and does not save the non-delegation fatal flaw of Michigan compiled law MCL 333-2253.
They're just so fixated.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Well, counsel, I appreciate your oral argument today. And as I've stated already, I appreciate the detailed briefs that have been offered in support of and in opposition to each of the positions here. Again, I'm very mindful of the importance of.
We're going to be right back. We're going to give you the judge's comments here real quickly right after this.
The Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord has an outstanding catering menu for weddings, graduations, parties, and get-togethers. From casual catering to full-service seated meals with bartending, call the Iron Pig Smokehouse, open 7 days a week, online at ironpigsmoke.com.
All right, we're back. Murphy's Law Podcast, your host Ian Murphy with Chris Kuhn.
Special edition.
Special edition. We're just going to play the last little bit of the hearing, the judge's comments, which... To me, speak volumes of where he's looking, what he's looking at, and we feel that it's exactly appropriate compared to the argument that was given by the state, which was all about COVID.
Or lack thereof.
Or lack thereof. And didn't really address the issue of the constitutionality of giving too much power to one branch or the other. So here's the last couple of moments. I backed it up just a little bit so we can hear the entirety of Judge Hunter's closing remarks. Here we go.
Thank you. Well, counsel, I appreciate your oral argument today. And as I've stated already, I appreciate the detailed briefs that have been offered in support of and in opposition to each of the positions here. Again, I'm very mindful of the importance of these issues, and that's where I'm going to work quickly to get my opinion out to each of the parties. But I also want to make clear, because although the attorneys, I think, did a pretty good job of characterizing what the different arguments are, that there's only two issues that I'm deciding. I'm not deciding whether or not the orders that were implemented made sense or were good orders. I'm not deciding any of these buzzwords that Mr. Fowler, you used a lot, and Mr. Delaney, you used a lot. This is not a vaccine case. This is not a masks case. This is not a question about whether Iron Pig serves good food or whether or not the Department of Health and Human Services should have done what they did. Two narrow constitutional and statutory questions are before the court. That's what I'm going to start with and what I'm going to end with. The first question is whether or not there's a violation of the non-delegation clause of the of the Michigan Constitution from the enactment of 2253. And secondarily, mm-hmm. whether or not these termed emergency orders are quote unquote rules within the context of the APA. That's the start and that's the end. That's what my opinion will focus on, and it's not going to take up any of these other arguments, though I understand some of them being made. That's not my determination here today, and it won't be. But again, with that clarification in terms of what I will decide, I'm going to take this under advisement. I'll issue a written opinion, and again, as I've stated, I'll do that just as quickly as I can for the benefit of everybody. Anything further, Mr. Delaney?
Nothing further. Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Fowler?
No, Judge, but also thank you for your time and attention to this.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone. The court will stand in recess.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
So what I got out of that was, I don't care about the evidence. That's all it comes down to. Everything you just heard comes down to those two things.
Yeah, that's and that's what we've been arguing. We've said it a bunch of times before. Remove the emotion mm-hmm. of COVID and vaccines and masking and sign-in sheets
and chads
and all that stuff. Just simply look at it from a standpoint of the law that's being presented and used, the way it's being interpreted. And the state makes a case that we're inventing legal theory or we're trying to circumvent the legislative process, which is not the case at all.
No.
What they don't seem to understand, I know that they understand this because they're attorneys and they work for the branch of the government. They know this. This is another avenue in which laws get further defined, right? You take them to court.
There won't be a next time until the next time arrives.
So what happened with Carl the Barber's case is it went through the channels. It went through the Court of Appeals. Then it ended up going to the U.S. District Court. And I believe it's the U.S. District Court. They kicked it back to the state saying this is a state's rights issue and it should be heard. And then the state Supreme Court took it up, heard the arguments, and voted 4-3 saying that this is a delegation, non-delegation violation. You're just giving too much power to the executive
branch. Well, and you're already starting to see this now because you're seeing the fact that 33.2253 is starting to deteriorate in front of them.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden they're starting to reference 33.2221.
Right.
Which is even smaller, but they're trying to loop their way back into other subsections of different MCLs to try to find something that fits their needs.
it's interesting today. There's been a lot of talk about this stuff. The SCOTUS case on Friday.
Yeah, big deal nationally.
The State Department of Education just today, Tuesday.
Which we got to check into the results of that.
Also, they have cited the 2253 as jurisdiction for them to promulgate procedures in this case. Not so much the limiting of the gathering of people, but they're more focused on the procedures part. We are adjacent in those cases insofar as we built the structure for the argument against non-delegation violation. The APA portion, which is the Administrative Procedures Act, we felt there should have been some hearings involved with that. That is also part of this. As he said, there are the two questions. That's the second one. The biggest one for us is that first part about the non-delegation violation and giving too much power to the executive branch or any other branch for that matter.
Which is the root of all evil. I mean, I know you still have the board over there. I mean, it's pretty clear to see when you look at the executive and judicial and legislative branches or the way that the governor just put herself right in the middle.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
And to think, to make the argument that the 45 and the NRE certified questions where the state Supreme Court said the executive powers of the governor act, the 1945 executive orders, was too broad ranging and was unconstitutional.
Again, listen to the times. Yeah, look how things have come. Look where we were then. In 1945, yeah, it should not be ruled. It should not be used today. I mean, it's a different world.
It comes down to, at the end of the day, the NRE certified questions in the case that Carl DeBarber brought knocked down the 45.
Yep.
Right. So she turned to the 1978 Public Health Code and used 333.2253, among a couple other ones, but that was the main one that she used. If we have our way, if you will, we would like to see the same thing happen. Whether or not Judge Hunter rules that way or not, he may split and go one way on the delegation, another way on the APA. We really want the unconstitutional portion of it seriously looked at, and that's really what we want knocked down, because we want the governor or any governor after her to take this into consideration and say, okay, the only tool I really have that is correct to use at this point is the EMA. The 28 days, I can do virtually whatever I want, but then we're going to include the voters and the legislature, have public hearings, and then justify another 28 days. It's 2022. There's no reason why we can't be doing these things.
Man, look how far we've come since 14 days is slow.
It's gone on too much again. Right. How long does it last? How long does it last?
I mean, we were talking about before we started recording, was it a brief from Phil Kirpin that were filed with SCOTUS on Friday that we're talking about that?
Yeah.
When does then? There's got to be an end in sight.
Yeah.
I mean, because ultimately we're not any further ahead now than we were back then.
Yep. Otherwise that power would just be used and used and used, and it'll never come to an end. And that's actually part of the argument that was used in the NRE certified questions case, the Carl DeBarber case, that the governor could basically say this is going to go on for forever.
Yeah, no definitions.
Which I feel like this podcast could probably go on for forever revolving around this issue. But thanks, Chris, for joining us today.
As always.
I appreciate you watching live the other day, keeping some notes and coming in today and talking about this. We'll disseminate this a little bit more over the weeks to come. Hopefully soon here within a week we'll have a decision coming down from Judge Hunter and SCOTUS. And we'll see what other things develop.
That'll be a whole new conversation.
There's about 8 or 9 mass cases with regards to the school that also hinge on this.
Well, DCAPS just brought it back.
Yeah, I heard that today too. So thanks for joining us for this special edition of Murphy's Law Podcast. We appreciate you checking in, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.